Moncrief on News Talk.
When Taylor Swift arrives in Ireland, she'll actually be coming home. Epic, the Irish Immigration Museum, has done the genealogical research and discovered that Taylor's great-great-great-great-grandmother was from Derry. Fiona O'Malley is head of the Irish Family History Centre at Epic. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So, God, this is a long story, but I suppose it starts in Derry when two people got on a boat in, when was it, 1836?
1836. So on the 15th of June, 188 years ago, Taylor Swift's three times great-grandparents got on a boat and sailed to Philadelphia. So you're talking about Frances Gwynne and Susan Davies. They were both 21 years old. Mm. She was a dressmaker. He was a weaver. And they travelled actually with a group of friends, cousins. We know this because their luggage allowance was put together with a group of, in her case, five people, in his case, four people.
Right, so they wouldn't have known each other beforehand. They met on the
ship.
They
met on the boat. So if you can imagine two 21-year-olds heading off on their J1 visas with a sense of excitement about what the future may hold.
And as I understand, the ship that they took was, you know, at the time it was a fancy one and only took 6 weeks to get there.
It was a fast-sailing, copper-fastened ship. So Derry, there would have been a huge amount of trade at that time between Derry and Philadelphia. Derry would have been one of the main ports on the island at that time. So you would have had linen being exported and obviously people emigrating as well, and then bringing flax and whatever else back. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting that this is pre-famine, of course. And
it
I suppose the level of emigration wasn't as high then.
Yes, but there still would have been. And I suppose particularly young people looking for
a new life,
a bit of adventure,
and
exactly.
So they met on the boat, and then obviously they were an item after that. And was it soon after that they married?
No, it was actually there was a 3-year courtship. So yes, they left. They arrived in August, 2 months sailing, so they had 2 months to get to know each other on the boat, and then they would have arrived in August. In 1836, and then they got married in 1839. So 3 years later, they got married. So they were probably getting themselves set up with lives in America.
Well, they probably both thought, I'm going to America. I'm not going to marry the first Paddy I meet on the ship, you know.
Exactly.
It's kind of a cruel twist of fate.
And maybe it was love. Maybe it was a you know,
they thought might have been a fling. So they settled in Philadelphia.
They got married and they had six children. Mm. And we know that he ended up making soap. He's a manufacturer in the 1850 censuses. So we use a lot of newspapers and censuses to get the information. So, yeah, so he's definitely, he became quite wealthy because we know in one of the censuses that he has property worth $18,000.
Okay, did so well for himself then.
Did very well for himself. And two of the sons, the usual, one became a doctor, one became a lawyer. So again, that, you know, move. They weren't poverty. They were already in a good place. They had trades and everything like that, but definitely worked very hard and was very successful.
Now, was it, and of those six children, how many of them survived?
Actually, only five of those six children predeceased Frances and Susan.
Was it for various reasons?
The only one we know, so we have that through death notices, and the only death notice that gives a reason is for Frank, and that is of heart disease. Okay, it mentions he dies suddenly of heart disease. So they actually lose three adult children in 2 years between 1872 and 1874. It is, so for all the hard work, all the success, there is a bit of tragedy there as well.
Absolutely. So the only remaining adult child then was
a daughter. Mary. Yeah. And Mary's born in 1854 and she marries a man called Douglas. And she is Taylor Swift, two times great-grandmother. And she's the only one that survives and the only one that has children.
Yeah,
and so
the line continued from there. And a lot of this, where was your starting point when you were researching this?
So our starting point was actually with Mary Douglas, because we have Taylor's grandfather, maternal grandfather is Robert. And so it goes from there. So our starting point was actually Mary Gwynne, who marries Douglas. And then from there, we went back and we were able to get information on Frances and Susan. So we have the manifest. So we have them travelling on the boat. Then we have newspapers of the time saying that the boat was leaving, that the boat arrived safely. And then we have their marriage. We have the baptisms. And then we have the censuses and notices from there.
Because is there much in the way of public records that you can rely upon? Or is it mostly newspapers?
Philadelphia can be a bit, especially with death records, they kind of come in and out a little bit. So generally, obviously, the church records, and we have the marriage record, civil marriage record and church marriages. In Ireland, unfortunately, they're probably from either Derry or from Donegal.
They got on the boat in Derry.
They got on the boat in Derry. So we feel they're probably from Derry or they possibly Donegal. But because they're Church of Ireland, and there's no church records for that time. So unfortunately, we're unable to pin down the exact point. But we do know that they're from that area.
When you started tracing this, did you know you were going to find an Irish link? Having a look for the sake of it?
we had an idea, because when you look online, you see people put up things that she has this bit of Irish, and you know, if anyone looks at a Wikipedia page, you know, it's like such an ancestry.
Trace back far enough, everybody does. Now, she has it on the other side as well, does she?
She does. So there is a Finlay on the other side as well. So George Finlay is born in 1847 in Harold's Cross in Dublin.
Mm.
And he ends up joining the Royal Navy in 1866, and he ends up as the Paymaster General for the Royal Navy. And he travels to South Africa, where he meets a young widow. They have a son. They come back to England and have a son who's born in Southampton, who's also called George. And then that's the other side there.
Right, okay. And they eventually ended in the United States. The son ended in the United States.
In the United States. But that family, again, it's very interesting. George Finlay, who went into the Navy, his father is also George Finlay. He is a clerk in the courts. And again, it's a story of hard work and success. And they go from Phibsborough to Harold's Cross, and then he ends up dying in Sandy Cove.
Yeah.
And the house is still there in Sandy Cove.
Is that a killer for you if there's generations of people and they all have the same first name?
No idea. And people come into us and it's, okay, so which generation is that? And you literally have to get people to know, please, that generation and that generation. And we've had people, they're getting divorced after they died. Quite how did that happen? That has actually happened.
Yes. A posthumous divorce. I suppose dying is a form of divorce, really.
Yeah, true.
Crikey, yeah. And I suppose when you're tracing these things, there's no way of double checking it, in a sense. You're reliant on probably one source of information.
Yeah, so it's the documents that you work on. So in Ireland, civil registration starts in 1864. You do have non-Catholic marriages from 1845. And then you're looking at church records before that. And then you're depending on when they start and if they survive. Then land records, obviously, most people come from the land in
Yeah, but if you have, say, if and I assume this happens, that you have Americans or whatever looking to trace their and is it sometimes the case you go, sorry, we had this kind of civil war here and we burned down the building with all the records in it. Yes.
Yeah, we do often have to explain the restrictions that we're under. So it's like, okay, so do you know when your ancestor left? What religion were they? When did they leave? If they left earlier than a certain point in time, have you taken a DNA test? It's kind of
How that? The DNA test is reliable in that you can find traces of things, but that does that
but
necessarily
not,
square up to
It we would use it sometimes to plug gaps in documents or to sort of point in a certain direction. But I mean, the documents are the absolute
because the DNA test, I assume, won't tell you how far back that ancestry is or how recent that ancestry is.
No.
So that's And are people, when especially visitors to this country and they're looking for some sort of Irish connection, are they looking for an amount of Irishness, if you know what I mean? If you say, well, you're 1/50th Irish, is that like, is that a bit disappointing for them?
No, what we find is the people that come to us, and obviously there's different periods of emigration, but the bulk of emigration is around the time of the famine. But over, say, the period between, say, 150, 250 years, stories get lost, and especially people are emigrating. They're not looking backwards. They're looking forwards.
Yeah,
it's a new life. It's a new start. So stories don't get told and get lost. So most people come into us and go, I know my surname is Kelly. I know I'm Irish, but I don't know from where.
Yeah.
And what they really want to know is where in Ireland their family are from.
Yeah.
That's the be all and end all of everything. They want to stand on the soil.
Yeah.
That their ancestors stood on.
And they want to know their own story, I suppose. That's what it is. It's filling
very
in those
much.
Gaps.
And it's interesting, the stories, you do see traits and stories that come down the line, like, for example, with Taylor Swift, obviously coming from hardworking, industrious, successful people. So her own
mirrors
the success of her family going back through the generations.
Was passed down there.
It would seem to be.
That's so interesting. Fiona, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was
pleasure.
Fiona O'Malley there, head of the Irish Family History Centre at EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.